Hello, everyone. This is Screwdriver.
And this is Bill Kennedy, the voice of reason.
Today is April 15th, tax day. Not much I can say on that one, though. But there's a couple of things. One is lease and know your rights. And then, there's ways to act and ways not to act, and we got some people acting in different ways, and we got a call today about...
Stupid things happen to stupid people. That's how I feel about it.
Excuse me, that's true.
I spoke to an organization, a motorcycle club, Wednesday, and they asked me what's the correct way to get stopped when the whole club gets pulled over. Now, I've talked about this so many times, but I'll be glad to speak to individuals or clubs. I'll repeat it just short version right now today. The whole club gets pulled over completely. The officer will request, everybody shut their vehicle off, excuse me. The officer will request whoever they want to speak to. The rest of the club go down to the next exit and wait. Takes the stress off the police. Usually there's 10, 12 more in a club. One or two police officers, they feel outnumbered. They get all puffed up in the chest. Go down to the very next exit, sit there and wait. We all have cell phones. We all know what's going on. Defuse the situation. By failing to leave, all you're going to do is make the police more nervous, and you're going to get a longer stop, spend more wasted time. Think smart. Know your rights. Follow your rights. Don't be stupid, because stupid is as stupid does, and that's what you're going to get, an extended ticket. Now, we're not going to talk about that too much tonight, because I talked about an awful lot, but you have to know your rights. Don't say, why are you stopping me? What does it matter? You're getting stopped. Deal with this.
Yeah, don't swear. Don't get pissed. Don't show them that they got to you. Just relax. Deal with it. Calm and collectively.
Don't reach in your wallet. Don't pull your driver's. Let them ask you first. Take it easy.
Right. Don't get...
You're an American? An American highway? Why should you worry about it?
Right. Because, the more they see that they're irritating you, that's when the handcuffs get put on you and everything else.
This is for your safety and mine, as the officer says he handcuffs you. The officer's uncomfortable.
And excuses are like assholes. Everybody's got one, but you know.
Not be crazy. A lot of good officers out there, we know that. But a lot of officers are uncomfortable with the situation. You have no idea who's going to pull you over. So we have to be in charge. The first 30 to 45 seconds, we have to control that stop. Or else we'll just escalate to the point where you're in handcuffs, sitting on the ground, and they're writing tickets up for you.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like the other day, Bill, when we had our run, which turned out real good.
Affirmative.
The picture was well received. The laminated print Larry set up was well received. And, of course, you put the arm on him at the last minute for some more cash, but that worked out pretty well.
It worked out real good.
Everybody,
I found my true calling, hustling for money.
Yeah, everybody dug a little deeper. And we had a good turnout. We had some of the Christian clubs. We had some of the regular clubs.
Clean and Sober. We had some outlaw clubs. We had some guys in blue. The police motorcycle clubs.
Yeah.
Everybody in one opening, and nobody beefed heads. Mm-hmm. Nobody bumped heads.
Nope. And they actually approached you to find out about us.
Yes. Walked right in my shop, 8 of them. What's this show going on? What's going on with this show? Gentlemen, tune in and listen. That's what I said to them.
Good. So we know they're listening. They've been listening for a while. And
I like to think of my shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, as sanctuary. I think I'm one of the few shops in at least North San Diego County, or maybe San Diego County. We can throw an event that brings a lot of different people in, because it is... We open the door to everybody. I offer you a chance to come in my shop. I give you a chance. I will treat you with respect if you give us respect. If you don't, we don't want you in my shop. Don't come back to our events. I'm very honest about that.
That's true. That's true. I mean, even the guys that come in to buy a bike, want to tell that story?
Which one?
The other day when the guy came in to buy the bike, he told me he was a cop when he asked him what color his uniform was.
This poor gentleman came in and with his wife, and we talked a few seconds about different motorcycles and all that, and I mentioned the Vietnam Wall coming up. I asked him if he had a chance to make it. I said, oh, by the way, I said, what color uniform do you wear? Or something like that. And he says, well, what do you mean, what color uniform? I said, well, don't all policemen have different color uniforms? He goes, how do you know I'm a cop? Oh, I don't know. The short hair, you got your chest puffed up, you're very uncomfortable. You want a motorcycle, you're not sure what type of motorcycle shop this is. After about 5 minutes, this was the nicest guy in the world, but he came here with this preconceived notion that he's going into the den of evil or something. Ends up being a good guy, hope he gets a good deal off the bike. He's going to end up joining a cop club. That's his choice and all that. But again, coming in the shop...
Which I'd like to see a copy of their bylaws, because the guy, I heard the guys say that it's harder to get into than the FBI.
Oh, they think they're very, very strict. Yeah, they take different police members from different organizations. They're very, very strict. They don't want a bunch of cowboys, as they say. So we'll be interested to watch that club grow.
That's true.
But 5 minutes into the event there, and then he realizes, okay, but he still came in here, sanctuary, our property, our land, our territory. My home is my home. My motorcycle shop is an extension of my home. You're my guest. But it took him a while to realize, no, it's okay. I don't have to act like a tough guy and all that. And he ended up being an okay guy after a while. But still came in worried about, you know, hey, what's going on and where am I at? And wasting 10 minutes of my time.
You just gave him 10 minutes? Usually it's a half hour.
Once we get the attitude adjusted.
His wife must have been fat.
Oh, no, she was not fat. She was very fine looking, nice attitude, nice everything like that. And once her husband was comfortable, she was comfortable as all can. A lot of times guys come in my shop and they don't know.
No.
Get that attitude again. It goes back to the same thing, we're being stopped.
Right.
You have to find out who the people are you with. You, as a motorcycle rider, if you don't know your rights, you're going to be stepped on. You're going to be harassed. They're going to ask you questions, and you are going to shoot yourself in the foot every time. I don't want to spend a lot of time tonight going over how to make correct stops and all that. I'll stop talking to them in the future again. But find out how to do it correctly. It'll be worse every time.
That's it. And today, Bill, I opened the mail. Well, actually, it was yesterday, Bill. I opened the mail, and I got my lifetime membership to Bikers Against Discrimination, Bill.
What was that about?
Well, it's protecting the civil rights of the American biker and the American citizen, Bill. Bikers are not second-class citizens. We've never been second-class citizens. Of course, some people think we are, but we're not. And I'm going to read to you the mission statement. Bikers Against Discrimination, that seems to end discrimination against the American biker by use of investigative research, legal resources, and documentation of actual incidents for legal and legislative pursuits in the protection of the American biker. That was written by Hank Frank. He's the executive director of Bikers Against Discrimination. The message we have to the public as Bikers Against Discrimination is a man carries himself as he does. If it seems intimidating because he's society's insecurities about themselves, does it not mean that the gruff-looking, mean-looking biker is the enemy? Rather, the polished, cologne-wearing, suit-wearing, sweet-talking, double-speaking politician may be a greater threat to members of society than a biker could ever be. And that's true, Bill, because we do a lot. We do a lot for charity organizations.
Raise a lot of money. Not one nickel goes in screwdrivers in my pocket.
Nope.
When we do an event at my shop, I don't take percentage out for using my shop, nor take percentage out for you, my mechanics. I don't take percentage off for my electricity. The shop is separate. The event, every nickel we do at my shop goes right into whatever organization we're tied up with.
That's true. That's very true, Bill.
And not all shops can say that, nor can all nonprofit organizations say that. A lot of guys write off everything, and that's a crock of shit. If we're doing an event at our program here, every nickel we make goes right into the organization.
That's true, Bill. You know, and just like, you know, the member benefits here, you know, like right now, we're in talks about what's going on here with us in town, and basically what happens is if you join, if something happens and we can help you with anything concerning your rights, you know, basically my bolt side takes care of the helmet, the motorcycle stops, aftermarket pipe, they issued a lot of exhaust, all that bullshit, you know, the stuff they used to fuck with us. But right here, we're not on the Bikers Against Discrimination side. We're more into why you were discriminated against. We want to find out why. We want to find out why they're motorcycle profiling people.
You don't have enough on your plate. You're adding this to it now?
That's true. But, you know,
I don't know.
But, you know, responses to the acts of discrimination against the members include, but are not limited to, the following. You know, we know the interaction with the media. We have a couple of people.
That we have very good contacts with.
Very good contacts.
Our reach goes a long way, boys and girls. Trust me on this one.
And, you know, the local media to drive the public opinion in favor of its members and create awareness of the existence of discrimination locally, which is what we're doing right now. And the interaction with the law enforcement agencies or other discriminating bodies to alert them of the existence of discrimination. We've done that, and they threw it back in our face. Okay? Am I right or wrong?
Correct on that. Okay. One thing is, we do not give in. We don't get disillusioned. We may get a little bit irritated, but we will not change our philosophy or our style. That's where we are.
That's where we're at with that one. You know, and advise and provide recommended personal course of action to the member to drive the elimination of discrimination. It seems, Bill, that last Sunday night, after, you know, we had the event, we went home, we relaxed, I got a call. They went into the bar, they followed a guy who they said was riding a Hell's Angels bike because he had the little fairing on the front. They're watching too much TV, Bill. I guess anybody that rides with a little fairing on their bike is a, what, known associate? Affiliate?
Well, you got to be, somehow, they got, for some reason, everybody has to be put in some type of label. And I guess that's they're looking for labels for everybody, so
right.
It's kind of sad.
Right. You know, they, and, you know, the back of the card that I have, my membership card, says, got 1 through 5, and the first one is not be compelled to betray your family or your core beliefs, which they ask me who's living at my house. That's like asking me when I go to the airport. Somebody put something in your bag without your knowledge? I don't know. I've been holding on to my bag since I got here. Not to be defamed, harassed, or discriminated against because you're of your culture, which is our culture. Be treated by the products of your character as an individual. That's true. Protect your cultural beliefs and defend your honor and integrity, which we do every day. Experience liberty and freedom as par with all American citizens. Bikers are not second-class citizens, and that's also true.
Organization seems pretty good. I hope somehow it can avoid the pitfalls of many other organizations I seem to run into, talking about egos and attitudes and me, 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 and I've done this and I've done that. I'm hoping there's enough heavy hitters in this organization bad that they can get beyond ego. As you and I have said many times, message is more important than the messengers.
Bill. That's true, Bill, but there is no ego with these gentlemen. I've known these gentlemen over the last 9 months. There is no egos involved. They're just as willing as we are, as much as we help charities. That's where they're at with helping people that get discriminated against.
I don't know them enough to be critical of them. I'm just trying to say that I hope that this organization we find. Because I've been looking for a lot of organizations, as you have, and everything's going to be stuck in the quagmire of I deserve something special because I've been with this program for so long, or why is so-and-so from a different part of the country, the same program, why are they getting this recognition? Screwdriver and I say once again, with us, the message is more important than us, the messengers.
Absolutely.
So it's not bad-mouthing them. I hope this is a good program.
We're not bad-mouthing anybody.
I'm just telling how I feel.
That's one of our rights.
That's right. Right, but you and I disagree a lot. Mm-hmm. In this case, we're not disagreeing. I'm just telling you a concern I have.
Right. And yesterday, I understand you had a very very interactive day yesterday.
I did. In the middle of the week, we had a crew of more than 200 motorcyclists rode through Oceanside from San Diego on Wednesday, April 14th. We're escorting a travel memorial to the Vietnam veterans that will be on display over the next several days here in Oceanside.
Not to interrupt you, but did you guys get, what kind of escort did you get?
We had the couple local motorcycle clubs to catch us. CHPs hit us on the freeway, took care of us. And then we got to downtown Oceanside, Highway 76. We had them all smiling things. The wonderful Oceanside PD jumped right in, escorted us the rest of the way in. So, and I got to say this, I'm very happy to... Not one accident.
Good.
Anytime you do an event, as everybody knows, even though 200 is not one of our big rides, you still have the accordion effect.
Right.
The guys, in effect, swear to God, they're only doing 70 miles an hour. But the guys in the middle, they hit the brakes or something, and the back goes way back, and then they're doing 90 miles an hour to catch up. But I heard the Cordia effect, of course, did take effect again, but not one accident. Nobody got bumped, no problem.
Good.
I did ask everybody before we left, fill your tanks and drain your bladders. And I said that twice, a half hour before we left. About 2-3 miles from the event, I heard several people had to pull off to a gas station, ran out of gas. Now, if I tell you the final destination, and I'm telling you, fill your gas tanks up, empty your bladder, you know.
There's a reason for that. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's like the time we rode to Vegas, you know, and
yeah.
Everybody was bitching because we had one woman with us.
Yeah.
And she's going to be the first one to pee and everything. And the guy who talked the loudest was the first one that had to pull over.
Yeah.
And when we got to Vegas, what happened to that lady's leg? You remember?
No.
She had that baseball burn on her thigh.
Oh, yeah, 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 I forgot.
Didn't say a word, say nothing, didn't holler, didn't beep, nothing.
Yeah.
Rode all that way with it burning and didn't say a word, didn't say a word. And then after we told them what happened, she had more respect from the whole group than the guy who started all the bullshit in the beginning.
You know, I want to point something out. A while back, you didn't make this party up in L.A., but I put some brand new super traps on my bike. I had brand new Levi's on. They didn't get washed. I just wore brand new Levi's. Somewhere around 3/4 of the way up there, the chemicals in my brand new Levi's stuck to my super trap exhaust system. I was on fire. Now, when you travel 75, 80 miles an hour, the fire goes behind you.
Correct.
It wasn't until I finally smelled something that I thought, well, my wiring's acting up. I looked down. My right leg, it's on, the flames are going behind me. I pulled off, big old hole in my brand new jeans. I learned a lesson. For all you bachelors out there, you get brand new jeans, you put them through the washer one time. There are chemicals in there. They will adhere to the exhaust pipes, and you lost another pair of pants. Let me tell you about my run again. All right, then. This is the Vietnam moving wall. Now, many of the bikers with us were war veterans, with bright patches and pins broadcasting their service or American flags on their jackets and vests. I'm not a pin type of a guy. You want to wear an American flag? Personally, you have the right to wear anything you want.
Anything you want to wear.
Guys that have 1,000 pins and all that, more power to you. It's just not what I wear. So anyway, the memorial we brought to town is a 370-foot replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C., the reason we're doing this is a lot of guys are never going to get back to Washington to see this. This is their one chance. The wall will be on display at the Senior Center here from Thursday through Sunday. It's going to attract a decent crowd. The memorial gives servicemen and women, their families and friends, a place to honor those who have been killed in combat. The wall, made from metal, is about 80% of the size of the Grand Monument in the nation's capital. It is one of several walls that travel throughout the United States to pay homage to soldiers killed in that conflict. The wall contains the names of more than 58,000 servicemen and women who were killed overseas during the Vietnam Wall. The Vietnam Wall is open free for the public. A ceremony with guest speakers and music will be held at 2 o'clock. And at 2 o'clock, we're going to bring the Colored Guard in. And right after that, the mayor of Oceanside was supposed to speak, just called me before I left the shop to come over here. He has to go out of town. The deputy mayor, Esther Sanchez, will be giving a presentation. I appreciated that. I like the fact that our local government works with us, gives us the validation that we need. They're not trying to ignore us bikers. They're working with us. Now, right after the mayor, or the deputy mayor speaking, Screwdriver and I are going to speak for a little bit. And then after that, New York Mike, a super patriot, is going to be speaking, and then we're going to close it off with the minister, Fred Z, pastor of Russia Wind Ministry, is going to speak. So how's that for a cast of characters? The deputy director, Screwdriver and Bill, New York Mike, super patriot, and then the minister is going to speak. The this four-day installation will also feature memorials for World Wars I and II, the Korean War, September 11th, and 9 presentation boards filled with gold dog tags engraved with the names of soldiers who were killed during any war since the Vietnam War, too.
All right.
So I want that so you understand that it is a Vietnam moving wall, but we are going to acknowledge all the people that have given their lives in America. I'm also going to be speaking now. I'm going to rehash my speech on Saturday.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to be talking about the importance the women warriors have played in America and how we in America have pretty much like America's best kept secret. Let's not talk about the women when they come back. We can see a man walking down the street missing a leg, missing an arm, shrapnel. Women can walk up to him and say, I see a whole man there. But screwdriver, when you and I see a woman missing a leg or an arm or shrapnel wound, because of the way we were raised, we're still uncomfortable
seeing our...
Well, you're getting better. We're both getting better. But no. The American psyche. Okay, I'll say you're Superman.
Go ahead. I was in the Marine Corps.
What are you playing with? Go ahead.
I was in the Marine Corps, and I had...
You had a woman in the Marine Corps. Good for you.
Okay.
One. How long were you in the Marine Corps?
Too long.
All right.
Go for it.
That's it.
No, go for
it. What the hell did you interrupt me for?
Because
all right.
I wanted to tell you that women...
You had one woman the whole time you were in the Marine Corps.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
The American psyche has been taught us older people. Now, little boys play with sticks. They play war. Women grow up in tea parties and wearing fancy dresses. We're not used to seeing our women coming home disfigured. When I talk at the VA hospital, the women tell me, Bill, look at me. What man is going to go out with me when they can have a whole woman? And yet the women tell me, Bill, we can see a man missing an arm or a leg, and we can say, there's a man. But we men are still insecure. We want Barbie doll now. That's true there. You and I have been talking some time about the role of the women. We've been talking about expanding it, trying to let the whole world go. But still, come on, you're in a bar. What do you look at? You look at everybody. Yeah, you look at everybody. You're just saying that.
No, I look at everybody.
I grant that you and I have been talking about...
Lately, I look at everybody, Bill, because I'm looking to see which one's a cop.
You look men and women in the bar?
I look at everybody, Bill.
All right.
Depends on what bar we're in, though, too, Bill.
I don't go to the other bars. I go to the straight bars. But anyway, I was trying to say that we need, you know, I don't judge you. I don't judge you. What you do and without me is your own business and all that. We'll be talking more and more about the role the women play in the wars. That'll be the gist of my speech. And you're going to be talking also about the poster we're going to bring up.
No.
That'll be your department.
Well, actually, Bill, it's a laminated print, and
It's
a laminated print, though.
All right.
And people were amazed when they saw that.
It was impressive.
I mean, we had some golf ball eyes out there.
It was impressive.
I was looking just to see what was going on with the people's faces when they saw that. It was crazy. So I also let them know that I have a chance to win one this weekend also, Bill.
That's right.
And we're going to be there, at noon?
You and I should be there around noon. I said at 2 o'clock, the color guard will come in, and then the mayor speaks, and you and I will come on right after the mayor. Deputy mayor, but
right.
Same difference.
And
same
people
difference.
People have an opportunity to buy some more raffle tickets to support the traveling of the wall.
The first laminated poster, we use all that funds for the paralyzed vets to support the VA hospital paralyzed vets section. This time, we sell the tickets. Every cent we make, we'll get right to travel the wall. That's fair?
That's correct. That's correct. And kudos out to Larry for sending us those bills.
Larry, we appreciate that. And everybody can see that online, can't they?
Yes.
All right. If you don't know what we're talking about, follow through. Check this out here. This is a man who lost his son. And parents aren't supposed to outlive their children, but he made a memorial bike, a motorcycle, Harley-Davidson style, to his son, and it's on display all over the East Coast. And he sent us some laminated posters.
Actually, Bill, he was at the Marine Memorial Marathon in October. Excuse me. And a guy, Washington, D.C. And he had a guy walk up to him missing his left leg from the knee down. And he said, man, I'd love to ride that bike. And Larry asked him, well, why can't you? And if you want to, I'll put it up in the chat so you go look at it, but there's two different ways to shift that bike. There's a Mamaluke sword, which is down connected, and everything's there. And I understand that the clutch is in the handle of the sword. So you can squeeze the clutch there, or you can
move the sword forward, first gear, second gear, etc. Okay.
And like I said, kudos off to Larry for sending those out to us, Bill.
If you get a chance to go on, look at that. That's pretty classy with them. So we're going to have events. We're going to have a lot of people here. I don't know what the... If we have less than 1,000, I'll be absolutely shocked. The only way we have less than 1,000 is if we have bad weather.
Well,
and I've already spoken to so many people.
Yeah, it's not supposed to rain until next week, Bill.
So we'll have
We should have more than that, Bill. We should have closer to 5, maybe between 5 and 7,500.
I don't know numbers, but everybody I spoke to, even the hogging members, all the hog dealerships all called me and said, we're all bringing big groups down. So it'll be quite an eclectic group of our friends who are Christian, clean and sober,
Outlaws, everybody.
We'll have the police motorcycle clubs coming out. Because you know what? You're a veteran. This is one time I really want to hear no politics crap.
Absolutely. All the differences get put to the side for this because it's not about us. It's about the cause.
A lot of times I see some guys come into these events here and they got their chest so puffed up. I want to find the valve, you know, so I can turn it out, let some of that air out. There's a time for the bar talk. There's a time for these charity events we're doing. You and I are doing this. Everybody knows what this is all about. We're going to have Pastor Fred Z of the Russian Wind Ministries up on stage with us. So from the deputy mayor to the ministers to priests, I mean, you know what? You and I are pretty strange people, you know that?
Absolutely.
Our friends are pretty strange.
Absolutely. There's no boundaries on this trip.
Last week we had the executive director of the Paralyzed Veterans out of the VA Hospital, Kelly Price Noble. She came down and she was extremely overwhelmed.
She was. Even when I gave her a hug, she was overwhelmed. She hugged me back and gave me a kiss on the cheek, though. And then you got upset because you got jealous.
What? You want me to give you a kiss on the cheek?
No.
What are we talking about?
I'm talking about
the paralyzed vet run. And you're talking. I'm talking about Kelly Price Noble, the executive director. And what are you talking about?
I'm talking about that she paid more attention to me than she did
to
you.
Oh, so I'm not paying enough attention to you.
No.
Now, see, you're changing my words around.
I know.
If anybody's out there, stay with us. The show will get better.
Yeah.
I promise that. Did we, did you give Kelly Price Noble, the executive director,
our friend's
address so that we can send a letter from the VA hospital thanking him?
She has all that information and... She was very surprised. We gave her, about 3 inches of money?
You know, I don't want to say the amount. We raised some serious money, and, again, I found I have a new talent. I wouldn't let the auction go through until we raised. I wanted more money and more money. And the more I kept asking for more money, people kept giving me more money. I had no idea I had the ability to do this. Of course, the laminated print absolutely was...
That was the kicker, Bill. Yeah. That was the kicker. And
we did send really sexy, good-looking women through the crowd selling tickets, so that may help.
And then I was even surprised when we got the Filthy or Hollow Few to dig deep.
Well, these guys, almost 100% law enforcement, are veterans. Mm-hmm. And, again, once veterans' crosses come up, that crosses over all the lines. I know they're going to be there for the Vietnam Traveling Wall, too. I hope every veteran shows up, whether in a club or not. If you are in a club, Christian, clean and sober, NA, whatever, you know, remember what we're doing, why we're doing it. Remember, here in North County, we're on sacred ground. We don't have all the politics.
Right. We're not out to... We're just two guys.
No.
Just two guys.
No agenda.
No agenda. Just
two Americans.
Just two Americans doing... what we need to do to keep our rights. That's it.
Screwdriver is not a paralegal. I'm certainly no lawyer. We make our services known to the community so we can try to help people that are overwhelmed by their problems. And more often than not, Screwdriver, tell me if I'm out of shape here, most of the guys we talk to, they shot themselves in the foot.
Absolutely.
The situation did not have to go... And their attitude, blah, 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 it just went downhill.
I'm
not justifying anybody.
Just before we went on the air, we watched that show about cops and your rights, you know.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, the acting was
sucked. That thing killed me, but, you know.
You know, the acting sucked, but.
Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe Hollywood?
No, I'll be doing that tomorrow night, Bill. We'll talk about that later.
You're going to rub that in. That's cold.
But, We got a caller, Bill.
We do.
Yes, we do. And we're going to bring him in right now. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Caller on the air?
Caller. Caller.
This is great.
Hello. Are you there, man? How you doing?
Hey,
hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well,
you might
okay.
want to turn down the sound on the extra utensils you got going, but yeah, we can hear you.
I got you on this little Bluetooth gig I got going on.
A what?
I don't want to, you know, I got you on a Bluetooth thing right now. I don't want to walk around the house and get a ticket for, you know, not using a hands-free device.
Okay. Yeah, in your situation, that might happen.
Yeah, exactly. I can't go anywhere without getting a ticket.
Are you wearing a helmet?
You know what? I got myself a DOT helmet so I can ride my pedal bike downtown, and I didn't get fucked with. It was the first time ever.
They probably
felt that bad.
They felt sorry for you at that point when they saw you on a bicycle. But
didn't I see you in the Guinness Book of Record recently?
Uh-oh.
Paula?
I hope not.
Did I see him in the Guinness Book of Record?
No.
More tickets than any one human has ever had in the shortest amount of time?
It's better than licking more windows than anybody else has. How are you guys doing?
Good, how you doing?
Screw it, I'm asking some questions. Find out what's going on.
Sure. So today, I'll let everybody know I talked to you earlier, and I want you to understand something from the get-go, okay? Getting the ticket is a win. It's not a loss. It's ammunition to change the discrimination against us. It's not to change the fact that you did get the ticket. It's the fact that we need, the more ammo we have, the more people we get involved, the more stacks of tickets we get can prove the harassment to the motorcycle community. Doesn't matter if you ride a Harley, a Jap bike, a Kawasaki, Suzuki, whatever. Riding a motorcycle is riding a motorcycle. You're still a motorcyclist. It's just that there's different groups. There's the Saturday bikers, there's weekend warriors, there's the guys that ride every day. The problem that we have is people have the wrong impression of what we do and what we stand for. And that's the problem. Like when you called me today and you told me what happened, and if you want to say that today, right now, go ahead. I'll give you the time to talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did it start out? Start from the beginning.
Okay. In order to get the ticket, a buddy of mine, a brother, we were pulling out of a motorcycle shop in Oceanside, and. Like I said, we're both riding with memorial patches on our back, and as soon as we pulled out, we hit the street side stop sign, and this officer pulls up behind us, and this broad in particular has just the nastiest hard on for anybody on two wheels, and the worst part is she rides on two wheels as well.
Absolutely, yes, she does.
Yeah, she rides on two wheels.
I've had her acquaintance.
I think she rides broads better than most dudes I know.
She rides what?
She rides broads better than most dudes that I know, from what I've been hearing, too.
Okay.
Originally, they had pulled us. She had pulled us over for loud pipes. And on my ticket, when it finally came down to give me my citation, it only said for a non-DOT-approved helmet. And that was it. And they put it down as a correctable offense, which was nice. But still, from the education from the education that I've been getting, there's three different requirements that they have to meet to give you a ticket, correct, in regards to your helmet?
That's correct.
Okay. And either one, and the three of them, if I remember correctly, are one is the admittance of a non-DOT helmet that you're wearing. Two is not wearing a helmet at all. And three is wearing something of like a football helmet or
a baseball cap.
Helmet, bicycle helmet, yeah, a baseball cap, something of the sort. But from what I remember, those three are the requirements that have to be met in order for them to give you a ticket, right? Well, the guy gave the ticket anyways, even though we were wearing regular, you know, skid lids or brain buckets, whatever you want to call them. went to court on February 19th, and I gave my statement. I gave my behalf and all the different paperwork that I've received from educated members. I took it all to court. Everything from the 1996 Easy Riders versus Hannigan to the CHP, the manual, the 100.58, to the California Vehicle Code, the violation that they have 403.5. I mean, I brought everything to the table and put it down there. I even asked the officer. I said, "Are you aware of this federal legislature that was passed?" "No, I'm not. I'm not aware of that at all." "Okay, well, are you aware that you're in violation of this CVC?" "No, I'm not aware of this at all either." "Are you aware of this? You know, are you aware of this point and that point? You know, points A, B, and C, and D, and E, all the way down the line." "No, I'm not aware of any of that." And as a matter of fact, the commissioner, he didn't even have a damn clue as to what the hell was going on. So I told him, I said, "You know what? If you're going to uphold the law, then it's best you should study and know the law." I slid all the paperwork to him as evidence. I gave him everything that I had. The judge took it in the submission and said, "You know, give me 30 days. And I'll go ahead and give you a decision." I said, "Well, you know, you can go ahead and just give me a not guilty verdict right now. I'll take that and walk out the door." No, I'm going to put it in the submissions." "All right, I understand that." Well, they mailed it to the wrong damn place. And then I pulled in today to find out what was going on with my submission. Because from what I've been hearing, you have 30 days to respond, and you have 10 days to respond once you get your submission.
That's correct.
Never got any of that shit. So I ended up going over to the courthouse this morning in Vista and asking, "Well, I have a case going on here in regards to a helmet ticket. It was in submission. Is there any result whatsoever? Is there any reason why I'm not getting the paperwork?" Well, come to find out, they have the wrong address. They got two numbers backwards. They've been mailing it to the wrong place. And on the paper for the notice of decision, it had me down as guilty and a fine of $115. I said, "All right, I'd like to appeal this. I want to appeal this with a form 142 and 143. "Well, you're going to have to go back into the courtroom and tell this to the commissioner that you want to appeal his decision." "All right, that's fine. I'll take that." Went back at 9:15, walked in there. And he calls me up, and I said, "You know, I have this notice of decision where you found me guilty, disregarding all the evidence that I showed you in regards to this helmet ticket. On the bottom of the paper, it says, due to evidence shown, Robert Gore, so-and-so is in a violation of a helmet law, or the helmet law. Unfortunately, when I was in the courtroom, I asked the police officer, "Do you have any pictures of this helmet?" "No, I don't." "Do you have a description of this helmet?" "No, I don't." "Did you confiscate and take this helmet?" "No, I didn't." "Do you have any proof whatsoever that this helmet that I was wearing is not a DOT helmet?" "No, I don't." "Then why are we here? Why are we doing this?" It comes down to it, he's still getting paid to go to court on a day off.
Absolutely.
He had no evidence whatsoever about my helmet, not one stinking thing. And yet they still found me guilty, and they put at the bottom of the paper, "Due to evidence found, so-and-so was still in violation of the helmet law." What evidence was I in violation of, Your Honor? Not one freaking response back. I said, "I want to appeal my case. I want to take it to a judge who is going to give me a good justified answer and a just answer. That's all I want."
Right.
So now I got this appeal form that I got to fill out. And Little Bird told me that you're really good at helping with those things. So I plan on being educated and trained some more on this appeals form and whatnot and taking it to the next level.
Okay. Yeah, I can help you with that, and you just have to listen and write it as I show it to you. It would look better if it's typed out. It would look better also if it's written correctly, because I will tell you, if a comma or a period is in the wrong place, it will not accept it.
Okay. You know, I got another case coming up for the exact same thing, for DOT helmet and for muffler in San Bernardino, and that's coming up on the 21st of next month. And
okay.
There was already a not guilty plea walking right into the clerk, and so I plan on taking the exact same forms, the exact same paperwork, getting back online, educating myself some more on what's going on, seeing if anything has been changed at all.
And, nothing's been changed, brother. Nothing.
And that's what threw me off. When I got the not guilty, verdict, I started thinking, I was like, well, what has been changed that I don't know about? What the hell is going on for him to go ahead and give me a not guilty verdict? Did this commissioner even actually sit down and go and do his homework as he said he was going to? He said he wanted to look it up and figure out what was going on with the helmet laws and get educated himself. I'm starting to wonder, I don't think this guy even did it himself. He most likely passed it off to some clerk or something and had them do all the homework. And then when they came back, they're like, well, you know, they don't know what the hell to look. So, hey, you know, we're going to stick with what we got here. Just go ahead and find him guilty, because after that point in time, he's not going to do anything.
The odds are.
I am.
The odds are, at this point, they asked one of the guys outside in the hallway, or they asked one of the cops to stay after and asked him, and they had no answers. So they figured, okay, you got the ticket. And the bad part about it is, when you get a ticket, they get a dossier on the last time you got a ticket. And they get another dossier that says if your other cases were not guilty or guilty. The problem is, like I told you, if they set you up as an habitual offender, you're screwed. You'll never win.
Now, what does it take to become a habitual offender?
You're well on your way, trust me. It's just repetition, accumulation of tickets, and then the preponderance of weight just buries you. Colin, may I ask you something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you just give in? Why are you fighting this?
Why am I fighting this? Shit. Fine. Let me see if I can find one good statement for why I'm fighting this.
Because a lot of people would kind of like to know this.
I volunteered to go to Iraq in 2003. I voluntarily put my own life in harm's way to protect the things that I love and that I truly enjoy here in America. And I know there's thousands and thousands and thousands of other brothers and sisters in arms who did the exact same thing as I did. I'm just following in their footsteps to protect and to preserve what we enjoy so thoroughly. And to come back and to put myself and to put my own life into that position and voluntarily do it when my time was up and I was supposed to get out, and I said, no, my battalion's going, I'm going with them. And to put myself there and then come back here and I can't wear just a regular helmet and enjoy my life and ride. I stood beside great people who did the exact same thing that I did, so we can come back home and just relax and live life, to ride freely and enjoy every minute that we can. To be able to sit and listen and talk to the old timers about how it was back then when there was no helmets, when it was just peaceful. You can't get that anymore. And wearing a little skid bit is the closest someone in my generation will ever get. Living vicariously and other old timers. I mean,
all right.
How much more can they take away from us before we start to speak up and speak in the streets, you know?
Caller, I couldn't have received a better answer.
Absolutely.
There's people who are listening here. You're just saying you're an American, you're driving in an American street, and you just want to be left alone. I think many people listening are saying, right on, you do what you want to do. Everybody's going to make their own choices, how they deal with these problems. I respect what you're trying to do. I just want to make sure you're not getting frustrated. You get frustrated, then you start to get careless, and then you make mistakes.
Oh, no, I won't lie. I'm not going to lie about it. I get frustrated. I get irritated. This morning I was frustrated and irritated. And I just
what did I tell you when you called me?
Exactly.
What did I tell you?
Take a deep breath. Relax. It's still a win no matter what. It's still a win because we're building ammunition. And I had to take a step back and be like, you know what? All right. If that's where it's going to go, that's where it's going to go. I'll take what I get with a grain of salt, and we'll take it to the next level from here.
And then how did you feel after everything was done?
I was still pissed off. I'm not going to lie.
Right?
I was pissed off, but I know it's baby steps. It's baby steps to get to the grand finale. And
that's
I understand
it.
That.
First two steps of 1,000.
You know, and I heard, I watched this old movie, The Wild Angels, with Peter Fonda, and I heard him say it on there, perfectly at the very end. He's like, you know, we just want to be able to ride our machines without being hassled by the man.
You know, Carla, what you're doing, a lot of people can't or won't do. They're afraid to lose their job. They're afraid of what the people will think of them. Everything you're doing, whether it's going to be successful or failure, we don't know how it's going to go. A lot of people are listening and watching and waiting to see what's going to happen with you. So I'm not trying to say that you're any special person and all that, but I'm telling you what you're doing is a special thing. People don't want to stand up. They're afraid. You're showing them you can do it. You're not going to win every fight. That's life. You're a big boy. Deal with it. But every little step you can take to make it a better community for everybody, it's for all of us. Again,
absolutely.
Don't get frustrated, but I'm sorry to see that you are taking the blunt from so many people, but it fell on you. It's falling on you. It's how you're going to deal with it as a man. Either blow it up or say, I'm going to deal with it. That's your choice at this point.
Yeah. You know, it's gentlemen like Robert Quigley and others out there who set the pace, they put the footprints in the sand for the rest of us to follow. And if it wasn't for gentlemen like that and other bikers, then I guess it'd be a lot harder to make a trail. It's a lot harder to make a trail than it is to follow one.
That's true. I mean, when I got my ticket, Bill will tell you, I was fucking pissed. And I walked in and
working
I told
the street corners, man.
Huh?
I said you shouldn't be working the street corners then.
All that love, all that love. Hey, but the reason I work the street corner is I usually have 4 or 5 cars follow me around, so they're just wasting their money following me around. But
you got a good piece of ass, you can't stop.
Absolutely. And when I walked in and told Bill, the first thing Bill said to me,
I'll tell you exactly what I said. I said, pay the lousy ticket.
And forget about it.
You're wasting your time. It'll be too much out of you. Too much. Just pay the ticket. And he said, no, he is going to draw a line in the sand today. He's not going to back off.
And I the phrase I told Bill was, my principles do not allow me to do that. And he looked at me, and he kind of smirked. You know, you got a point there.
Let's take a look and see what
we can
do.
Take a look and see what we can do. And a week later, we've been sitting here in the chair doing what we need to do. Still.
When did those all first start happening with the helmet laws and the tickets and the gentlemen, the bikers before standing up and saying, look, this is unconstitutional. When did those all first start taking place? And
January 1st, 1992.
As time progressed, how did it all of a sudden just become forgotten and the cops just started thinking they could do whatever they want to do?
Because we live in a state that's $750 billion in the fucking hole, and that's the only way they can get the money.
Talk about some chicken shit tactic.
Well, actually, you know, I know, and Bill knows. The guys who are writing these fucking tickets wear the same shit we wear, use the same pipes we use, ride the same kind of bikes we ride, have different, it's like, go ahead. Don't try and fuck with me because I got a badge.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I heard there's a gentleman. He's a law enforcement officer, and he's up there on the hierarchy. And from what I heard, he rides a Harley Davidson with a skid lid and some drag pipes or something of the sort.
He rides a Fat Boy. He has shotgun pipes, and he wears a fucking beanie helmet.
And he's a law enforcement officer.
He's also the same guy that signed the letter I got from the city saying that we have no procedure, policy, or information concerning helmet tickets, concerning helmets at all. So my question to him was, how can you objectively enforce a law that you have no information on?
Yeah, exactly.
That's when it got turned over to the other guys that we've been dealing with, who, by the way, it was only 2 months, 11 days, and a wake-up. So they started again. And you happen to be the first candidate.
Nice. I'm the guinea pig getting put to the test, huh?
Yeah.
You just happen to be in the right place at the wrong time for you, that's all.
Carlo, I got to remind you one more time, you cannot let your insurance lapse. You cannot let your vehicle lapse. You got to stay on top of every single thing. Every single thing. Because anything you do at all is going to be
You're going to be
exploded out of, you know, context.
You're going to be the one they bend over.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I got my insurance paid a year in advance. It was all one lump sum. Just paid it all off. Registration is always good enough to par. Now I'm fighting with the license issue.
Okay, because
sometimes people don't get their insurance registration renewals in the mail. Sometimes
right.
they get lost.
Right, or sometimes they get told during a traffic stop something was suspended.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got. Apparently, I had mine suspended. Didn't even have a clue about it. Fortunately, I got lucky enough to have one Leo that was nice enough to say, you know what, park your bike right here. Have somebody come and pick it up. I won't take it this time, but don't let me see you ride it until you get your license squared away. Hey, I can't ask for nothing more. You know, you give me that kind of respect, I'll give you the same respect back. You know, you give what you get.
You get what you get, but like Bill's favorite words are, you know, remember what they are?
Just say no is good. Don't give them information. Don't shoot yourself in the foot and ruin your own case.
Even though you answer
yeah.
a question with a question, they're gonna get pissed. But if you stand your ground, you know for a fact they pulled me over twice and they could have wrote me the first night for my taillight going out. It was lit when I
yeah.
left. It was lit. Trust me, I know. I checked before I got on the fucker. It was lit before I pulled out. And then all you guys standing on the curb, boy, you were gone by that time. But all the guys on the curb said, look, he's fucking with him. He turned the lights off.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as they saw that light out, they hit that curb coming out of that parking lot, made a left turn. They were driving on the left side of the street in oncoming traffic and went through a solid red to run me down two blocks down. And I knew they were coming. I seen them. I pulled over.
Because you're such a big criminal, you had a taillight out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The next night, our favorite lady got me and told me that I know, that they know, that we know, that you know your helmet is illegal. And I said, really? And she said, take it off. I can confiscate it. And I said, my principals do not allow me to do that. And that started the whole thing. Next thing I know, my thumbs are in one hand. I'm getting patted down with the other hand, and she's more worried about the phone that wasn't in my pocket than the tape recorder that was running on the seat.
Well, you have a lot of decisions to make here. Can you continue to do this? Do you have enough patience to do this? If it gets too heavy, you got to back out. If it gets too heavy, maybe you have to move to another city. Change your whole lifestyle. These are all choices only you make. I'm not telling you how to make any of them. I'm not asking you to make any choices, but you have to decide how long can you do this. Every day you hold out, you're helping so many other people, but you're the one taking a lot of the blunt right now, and you make decision whether or not you can handle it.
You know, if you sat down from the day you got back until today, okay, and you tallied up how much you spend in fines and bullshit right now,
more than a feature.
You could have bought a new motorcycle at Kennedy's Custom Cycles.
And that's no shit. I could have had that free fall that I wanted already. Gosh damn.
Give
me
a little bit.
I just stick to a bicycle.
Okay. So you understand what we're saying to you? I mean, I know you got it, but I just have this feeling you're still pissed off about it, and you shouldn't be pissed off because... It took me what, about a month and a half, Bill, to relax and calm down?
You're a jerk.
Yeah, and I was a fucking... I was acting like a prick, dude. I was waiting. I rode around for them fuckers to do it again, okay? And I learned from one of the founding guys of Bolt just what I told you on the phone today. A ticket is not a loss. It's a win. It's ammunition to keep up the fight. And when I sent him all the stuff that you sent to me, he bought shit a brick, and he said the same thing. This guy could have bought a new motorcycle.
You know, Carl, again, I want to emphasize this. I don't want to steer you one way or the other, but you take care of your family, you take care of your health, you take care of your mental health. If this is getting too heavy, You said you back off, you back off. You make that decision, though. If you think you can handle it with all the stress, more power to you, but this is all on you. You're taking a big task. You're riding around with a bullseye on your back. It's going to stay like that.
And right now, it's, what Bill said is absolutely true. It's going to stay like that.
You know, there's another
I've been downtown 6 times since the last time I got told, we don't want you downtown. We don't want you to wear this. We don't want you to wear that. The association this, the association that. Bullshit. I go down there, I wear what I wear. They just haven't figured out which way I look when I go, because I go incognito. I've ridden by the same guys that pulled me over. I've ridden by the same woman that's pulled me over. They're looking for the guy they saw the night they pulled him over. They're not looking for me.
You know, it eats me as this past 2 days I've been riding around, and I actually went without my colors this time. I rode around town without any colors. And I rode by the exact same cops on the exact same beat during the exact same times, and they just looked at me, and that was it. But as soon as I had my patch on my back, that was it. They were following me right down the street. Like I said, I'm not an outlaw by any means whatsoever, nor do I try to portray one. I'm just fighting for the guys in the war.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. All they see is the patch.
Yeah, it's that bullseye that they want. They see that, and they go right after it. Because all day today I've been riding around, and I've been watching. I can't even tell you how many people I've seen riding around with little brain buckets and skid plates on. I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you how many people I saw today with little brain buckets and skid plates.
Right.
And how many of them had colors
right
on their
them.
Back?
None.
That's why.
And not
brother.
One cop was messing with them, and I was watching them pass by cops, riding next to cops, watching a motorcycle cop going between, splitting lanes, passing right next to them, and not one fucking light went off to pull them over to tell them, that's not a DOT helmet. Not one. It's that, like I've heard it before from you, it's that selective enforcement.
It is selective enforcement, and the problem with that is they're trying to make it so you get frustrated enough to where you won't come back.
You'll
to
make them. A mistake.
You'll make, exactly. You're going to make a mistake, and they got you. You know, unfortunately, some of us have things in our past that come up during a traffic stop. Bill and I happen to be in the computer for things that we just went to parties and
friends. I'm gonna pick and choose my own friends. That's the way my life is. If a couple belong to one motorcycle club, another belong to another motorcycle club, and all that, I don't support any one club because there are good guys and bad club guys. I have friends everywhere. I will not allow other people to tell me what to do and how to live my life. But caller, again, I need to warn you, if this builds up too much and you shoot yourself in the foot, it'll just get worse for you. I want to mention you again. You could consider moving to the next town over, get another place. You don't have to change anything. You may say, I'm not going to run. I'm not talking about running. One of your options are getting a different place to live. One of the options are stay right where you are in the war zone, and that's where you are, and say, I'm going to fight this every day. You push yourself an awful lot. It's not your physical stress I'm worried about. It's your mental stress. You're swallowing an awfully big pill.
And let me tell you, Bill and I are two guys that are telling you from experience, years of experience in seeing people with dealing with the mental stress.
Yeah,
we've had friends. We got a friend now that's in a wheelchair from a motorcycle accident. That every once in a while he goes off the deep end and wants to play with a gun. And if it wasn't for being a phone call away, he'd have probably popped himself by now.
I am going to mention during the Christmas time I spoke to one of my friends did kill himself, motorcycle guy.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my friends called me up after the fact and said they came home, sat in their favorite chair, pulled their pistol out, and just laid it in their lap because the Christmas spirit, the Christmas time, was so depressing to them because they lost family, children, wives, businesses, everything, their health. They decided to blow their brains out. They didn't. One of my friends, and if you don't know, I'll stop by shop. I'm glad to tell who it was. He chose to go that route during Christmas and blew his brains out.
And this guy didn't have to worry about a dime.
Oh, no, man.
He had so much money, property, things.
Fine-looking women and blah, 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 but it
just wasn't the answer.
No. So you got to always be prepared. Your physical health can go down, but you cannot let your mental health get weak. You have too much to lose.
Plus, the other thing is, those guys, they do a thorough background check. They know probably when the last time you spit on the sidewalk. They also know if you have any registered guns.
I'm good there. I ain't got none of that going on.
No, I know.
Nothing in the house. I'm sure you don't.
No.
Not even one in the house. I know you have none in the house at all, ever.
Nope.
No. That, and I'm not a fourth waiver, which is even better.
Yeah. You continue the battle. I like the way your enthusiasm, but I just want you to be prepared that if you start getting, sometimes it's like a giant flat rock crushing your chest. That's called anxiety.
Yep.
You've got to be prepared that this is going to weigh on you, and you being irritated is going to affect everything else you do all day long. Control that always. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Everybody else. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll admit that. It's a little bit frustrating at times, but as soon as I get outside the door, take a deep breath, I can jump back on the scooter and take off down the road, and I'm good to go.
So you didn't get an escort in this time?
No, unfortunately I didn't. I was, going to wave like a queen on my way in, but... I didn't get that privilege.
We got that run coming on Sunday for the Traveling Wall, the veterans, Saturday, about 12 to 3-ish. Any chance you're free Saturday? You coming down and say hello?
Absolutely. I've been hearing you guys talk about this gentleman who made this tribute, to his son and some friends, some brothers of his that passed in the war. I will definitely be there and to meet the gentleman that is doing this. It would be an honor to meet him.
Yeah. So we respect it. We hope that you'll be willing when you come in, bring your colors in, bring a couple of your people in if you want. This would be a good time for feeling good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I actually look forward to seeing this. One of the few that I've been looking forward to.
And, yeah, I'll give you a buzz tomorrow when I'm headed up this way because I'm going to shoot up there tomorrow.
Sounds good. I'll be around locally.
Yeah. Our friend Rusty's going to have his bands playing the Viper Room up in
Go ahead. Brag to everybody. Go ahead.
Up in Hollywood.
It's going to be the music video Friday. Go ahead. Tell everybody now.
Yeah. It's
going to be in the Viper Room.
What's
Hollywood.
The deal with that? What time are you leaving?
Unfortunately.
Call later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me a buzz on that one later.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll do that, definitely.
Yeah. Ring me up in the morning.
Okay.
I don't call you right back. I got to go. I go over to the sub base and check some stuff out, but if I don't get right back to you, I will get back to you.
Screwdriver, I'm not real familiar with Hollywood Boulevard, but I had heard.
Here we go.
If you're going to be picking anybody up on Hollywood Boulevard, you could be confused.
No, I'm taking one with me.
Bro. All right, then. It appears to be in Hollywood Boulevard. I don't know. I just heard that.
Well, you could ask someone to. Well, never mind. But if you want to stay on or listen, there's another thing I'm going to talk about right now, and it's going to be pretty interesting. So if you want to hang on or you want to go back and listen, that's fine.
Caller, you take care. Stick with us, and again, Saturday about 12 to 3-ish, maybe. Okay.
Absolutely.
And one step at a time.
And from 12 to 2 to the first person speaks, or probably when Bill and I speak, we're going to be selling raffle tickets to win that prize.
Ah, inflatable dolls. I like those.
Yeah, because actually last week we did a real good turnout, and it was about 3 inches of money.
It was a lot of money there.
A lot of money.
Oh, this for the disabled veterans?
That was last week. That was
the paralyzed vest. Yeah, the PVA.
Yeah, the paralyzed vest. Yeah, I heard about that. How was the show? How did it come out? How was it?
Good. Everything went out.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. They deserve it. They deserve a bit of help they can get. They earned it.
Absolutely.
What you got there? What you got, screwdriver?
Right now, Bill, I got an email today, and crime prediction software is here, and it's a very bad idea. There are no naked precogs inside glowing jacuzzis yet, but the Florida State Department of Juvenile Justice will analyze software to predict crime by young delinquents, putting potential offenders under specific prevention and education programs. Goodbye to our human rights. Really, you know, it goes into this that they will use the software on the delinquents using a series of variables to determine the potential for these people to commit another crime. There we go, profiling again.
Yeah.
Depending on the probability, they will put them under specific education programs and says the system gives reliable projections so the government can take action in real time to prevent criminal activities. Well, they're doing that now. Aren't they doing that to us every day here? They do it to me every morning when I leave for work. Really? It goes on to say, Bill, really reliable projections. Action in real time, preventing criminal activities. I don't know about how reliable your system is, IBM, but have you ever heard of the 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution? What about Article 11 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? No, let's make that an easy then. Didn't you watch the Scientology nutcase and Minority Report? Sure, some will argue that these juvenile delinquents were already convicted of other crimes. So, hey, there's no harm. The software will help prevent further crimes. It will make us all safer, but would it? Where does the guarantee of that? Where does the state have to assume that criminal behavior is a given? And why should the government decide who's to open or who goes to a specific prevention program or who doesn't based on a computer, what a computer says? The fact is, even if the software was 99.9% correct, accurate, there will always be an innocent person who will be fucked. That's true. And that is exactly what we have something called due process and a presumption of innocence. That's why those things are not only in the United States Constitution, but the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, too. You know, other people, it's getting fucking crazy.
I got a letter from the government today. I'm supposed to report next week to get my chip put in my arm.
Yeah, right. Not me, brother. Other people say government officials already make these decisions based on reports and their own judgment. True. It seems that a computer program may be fairer than a human, right? Maybe. But at the end of the interpretation of the data, it is always in the hands of humans, and the program itself is written by humans. What really worries me, probably should worry you, Bill, and everybody else that's listening, is the first big step towards something larger and darker. It's actually the second. IBM says that the Ministry of Justice in the United Kingdom, which has the impeccable record on not prejudging the citizens, already uses the software to prevent criminal activities. Actually, maybe the third big step, because there's already software in place to blacklist people as potential terrorists, although most probably are not sophisticated as this. This is another plug for IBM, but Hillary wants to do this to go big. They have spent a whopping $12 billion beefing up the analytics division. Here again, the full quote. Predictive analytics give government organizations worldwide a highly sophisticated and intelligent source to create safer communities by identifying, predicting, responding, and preventing criminal activities. It gives the criminal justice system the ability to draw upon the wealth of data available to detect patterns, make reliable projections, and then take the appropriate action in real time to combat crime and prevent and protect citizens. Give me a minute, Bill, and if you could read just a couple of paragraphs for me, that would be great.
All right, let's see what we get. That sounds scary to you. That's because it is. First, it's the convicted but potentially recidivist criminals. Ooh. Then it's potential terrorists. Then it's every one of us. Big database getting flagged because some contributive factors, travel patterns, credit card activities, relationships. You and I have no relationship at all, by the way.
No.
Now that's messaging, not massaging. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Social activity, everything else, indicate we may be thinking about doing something against the law. Potentially a crime prediction system that can avoid murder, robbery, or terrorist threat. sounds like a basic a good idea. For example, there are certain patterns that can identify psychopaths, potential killers or child abusers, or wife beaters.
Well, I don't understand, Bill, if they have
you understand the wife beaters?
No. The child abusers,
yeah.
The pedophiles and stuff. Well, how come they don't have a better thing for them? Why don't they use this on them to track them?
Well, this may be the way of the future.
As you know, here in California, you know, all the people went up to Sacramento yesterday.
Yeah.
And protested and put flowers and stuff and went in room by room to talk to these people. And now all of a sudden we're going to have a bill, but it took two young ladies to get killed to do it.
Well, screw that. It only makes sense to put a future system in place that can prevent and identify potential criminals and put them under surveillance. But how much rights are we losing by doing this here? The reality is it's not a good idea. While everything may seem driven by desire to achieve better security, one single false positive would make the whole system unfair. And that's not even getting into potential abuse of a system, like the last time IBM got into a similar business for a cause. During 1930, they shipped a whole lot of cataloging machines to a certain government in Europe to put together an advanced census. That was good. Census can improve societies by identifying needs and problems the government can solve. At the end, however, it didn't do well for more than 11 million people. Yes, this comparison is extreme exaggeration, but one thing is clear. No matter how you look at it, cataloging people, any kind of people, based on prediction software and then taking preemptive actions against them based upon the results is the wrong way to improve our society. Agreeing with this course of action will inevitably take us in a potentially fatal path. However, on the outside, this looks like a good idea. That's what's so scary about it. A few years ago, England was doing subliminal messages for the public.
That's true.
They were trying advertisements all over, even in the theaters. When they took a break between the movies, they were having the commercials. People weren't aware of subliminal messages in the commercials, and when they were done, people rushed to the concession stand. They bought more popcorn than they ever sold. They bought more candy one time. England did this for years. They said, well, we're just testing it. Any time the government takes another right away from us, it makes us less of a man. We have got computers taking in our homes. We've got red lights. Many places back east, they've got cameras on the corners to stop crime. Everything on the surface appears to be a good idea. But we lose another right, and another right, and another right, and another right. There was a saying back in World War II, they came for the communists. What did I care? I wasn't a communist. They came for the Lutherans. What do I care? I wasn't a Lutheran. They came for the Jews. What do I care? I wasn't Jewish. They came for me one day, and there was no one to care at all. If you turn your back on what's going on, you'll find yourself isolated like that last party. Everybody else is gone, and they come for you too. The more rights you sign over, the more rights you agree, like that last caller fighting the helmet laws, fighting all these tickets. It's causing him a lot of strain. He's not giving up. It's causing him a lot of financial problems. He's not giving up because he's fighting this for everybody. I don't know I don't know for sure the way the future's going, but I don't need a crystal ball to tell me, screwdriver, the world's changing.
Absolutely.
My grandparents today, they're all passed away, of course. If they could just magically wake up and look around, they would not know what country they were in. We've lost so many rights. This country is still the best country in the world. I've traveled extensively around the world. I know that, for example, if Screwdriver and I were in communist China, they'll triangulate this radio station here. They'd have us locked up and put away. You'd never hear from us again. Only in America do they allow people like us to speak our rights.
That's true.
But every day, they take another right away. And if you don't stand up, America, one day you'll have nothing to stand up for.
That's absolutely true, Bill. We have a caller on the line, Bill. I'm going to bring her in. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, hey, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Hello,
all right, hey. Hey, this is Jan.
Yes, Jan.
I just want to say, you know, I love the topic that you're on, and you know, if you want to keep on talking on that topic for a moment, that'd be fine with me, because I do love that topic. I also have a bit of a dilemma, and I wanted to consult with you so you could be my therapist this evening.
Go for it.
What? Quiet? You guys?
No, 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 no.
You guys
tell
quiet?
Us your dilemma. Little girl, you can trust me. I have the long gray hair.
Oh gosh. Hey, okay. Let me tell you the situation. Okay. On Monday. Okay. I've got to choose between delivering an Articles of Freedom as proposed by the Continental Congress 2009, or presenting the Articles of Freedom proposed by Continental Congress 2009. There are two different versions.
Which version sounds the best?
Well, to me, the original version sounds the best.
Jan, you're too
okay,
smart
me...
a girl. If you're asking the question, you already know the answer. Go by gut reaction. You ask
well,
the question
I...
out loud, and then you tell yourself the answer out loud. You're much too intelligent a woman to worry about that.
Well, and you know I'm a person of principles.
Yes.
And okay, well, the thing is that, you know, they've got this really great document. It's called the Articles of Freedom. But then somebody wanted to introduce, you know, a little bit of marketing for their organization. And they also included a prayer into it that wasn't there when it was adopted. And, you know, there were a couple of changes. Most of them were wordsmith changes. But down the bottom of every page, there's a website listing.
Ah.
You know?
Okay.
You know, so I'm just wondering, hey, you know, what's the deal here, and I don't think I'm getting the right. I think I'm getting lied to by both sides.
Absolutely.
If you're feeling
you know?
It, then you know the answer. You are getting lied to. Trust
yeah, I'm getting
inner-
lied to, and I don't like it, and you know it's like. So what I did this afternoon is I compared each of them side by side to look at the articles themselves. You know, and they were very, very much the same. There were only changes here and there, but it was mostly for wordsmithing. But as you know, the devil is in the details, and words are important, especially when it comes to law.
That's true.
But anyways, I'll figure it out. I just don't know which one I want to tell people to go to anymore to take a look at it, because it's really good what they're trying to do. They're trying to tell the government that they are going to be held accountable for following the Constitution, finally. And you know, that would be a wonderful thing.
That's true. I'm gonna bring in another caller.
Stay with us, Jan, please.
Stay with us. Hello,
go
caller.
Ahead.
Yes, sir.
How you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good.
Can tell us where you're from, please?
I am from Sacramento, California.
What do you want to talk about tonight, caller from Sacramento, California?
Hi, defendant from hell.
Hey, Jan, how you doing? Well,
okay.
I like what I hear from you, Jan. I think you're smart enough to know the answer to that too. It might be a little. You know what I would do? Having in one in one hand and the other one in the other, and hit them with both. And then in your back pocket have the original Declaration of Independence, because it sounds like that's what we need to hand these idiots today.
That's true.
Okay, so we don't say that the king does this and the king does that. We can just say the Congress does this and the Congress does that, and the president does this and the president does that. You know, you don't have to change many words. Just king. Switch out the word king with whatever is appropriate today.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Phil, you were asking if I would kind of update everybody with what's going on tomorrow. I got I got a ticket last December for not wearing a helmet. The guy told me at the traffic stop that I didn't have a DOT approved helmet. You've all heard that kind of
yes.
That myth.
I didn't know that the DOT was approving helmets. Are they back in that business again?
They say they're still not. No, but but anyway, you know that whole routine. Not wearing a DOT approved helmet. Of course I'm not. Neither are you, police motorcycle officer.
Nobody can.
Yeah. So December 1st. To tomorrow. It's a long time between ticket and trial, but that's the way it goes. And then I got a ticket last about a year ago in Vacaville, California, which got a little bit of a publicity on YouTube, and that I managed to finagle a guilty verdict out of the judge in that county. And now I just got my notification yesterday from the court that the oral arguments will be heard on the appeal on September 28th.
Okay.
So, you know, that's all. All that stuff is clicking along, and like you said, Jan, everything has to be, with law, has to be dotted I's and crossed T's, and the wheels of justice, you know how that saying goes. Takes a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the devil's in the details.
Devil is in the details. I had a funny little thing happen to me about a week ago when I was in. Yeah.
Wasn't that your second trip to Vacaville?
That was. I've been to Vacaville quite a few times. Believe me.
Well, I mean, yeah, but when you put it on the street that you were going.
What do you mean?
Well, you sent an email to me telling me that you were going up to Vacaville.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, like I said, I've been there since I got the ticket. I must have been there 15 times, either talking in person with Internal Affairs or filing a paper or filing another paper or filing another paper or going there for another friend who had another helmet ticket, be there for him, filing other papers. You get the pattern.
Yeah, I get the pattern.
Yeah,
I'm doing the same thing. What I did
there the other day was I was trying to push the envelope. The way things go with the rules of court and everything, you know, when you're in the appeals, going towards the appeals process, everything is in a time clock. Controls everything, unless the court overrides that time clock, and they never notified me that they don't do that. They don't tell you when the time clock has stopped. They're supposed to tell you when the time clock has started, but they then again, if they just all of a sudden decide that you should have known when the time clock started, then you're screwed. And I don't want some sort of a technicality to make this case go away, to make me lose this case. So I went over there last Friday. It was a week ago. I went over there Friday to file my opening brief, and they told me that they will. They're not ready. They're a little behind, and so they got some details to work out on the case before it even goes over to the appellate court. So she said, her quote was to me, "You're really ahead of the game." Oh, okay, thanks. So it was basically a trip out there for nothing, but I get to nothing other than the fact that I get to have my face seen by those cute little court clerks again. When I go there to file papers and stuff. uh-huh. always good to be in their face, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, Mark, this is Jan, whatever happened with that decision about, you know, whether or not you wanted to press charges against this this court clerk, and, you know, that was someone else, but it was somebody. Whatever happened with that? That was real interesting.
Yeah, here's what happened with that case.
This
sort of thing happens quite a bit. When a clerk or a judge or a police officer, whoever it is, in a certain county or jurisdiction, when they've been so accustomed to doing something the way they've always done it, and then somebody comes along and says, "Hey,
you're wrong.
The law says this. The way you've always done it is different from the law. So let's see." Not a tough question. Which takes precedence, the way you've always done it or the law? You know, they get the picture right away. And sometimes what you have to do is it has to get into a heated argument, because they get their panties in a bunch telling you, "Don't tell me how to do this. This is my job." Yeah, well, you know, sorry, but you're doing it wrong. So just the same way, the first time I ever filed a paper in Vacaville, I got that way with the clerks. And now, see, when you tell them, "Look, I don't care what you say, the law says this," and then they realize, "Oh, crap, I'm wrong." Then all of a sudden they get real friendly every time they see you, because they don't know what else you know
that they don't
that they're screwing up on. So they get real friendly, real polite. So that case that you're talking about was a ticket that was written by Vallejo.
Okay.
V-A-L-L-E-J-O.
Yeah.
That city has since gone either almost bankrupt or bankrupt.
I remember seeing that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the guy who got the ticket is his name is Coach. He's the guy that wanted to file papers, and the clerk wouldn't let the DA wouldn't let him or something like that. And the sheriff came and helped him serve those papers.
That was great.
Yeah. It was decided that since the papers got served or filed or whatever the case was at the time, that no charges would be pressed. He gets a lot of respect too wherever he goes now.
good.
When that helmet case went to trial, what they had done, I think it was a little. I don't know who did it to him, to the police officer. The police officer firmly believed he did the right thing. The police department told him, "No, you didn't." Every police officer we talked to quite a few of them in that police department, in the Vallejo Police Department, all of them said, "You didn't get a ticket from Vallejo. Vallejo doesn't write helmet tickets." We said, yeah, we did. "What officer?" And then you said the officer's name, and they went, "Oh, he doesn't do traffic." What we did is we helped the Vallejo Police Department figure out that they need to tell all of their officers everything that the traffic guys hear, because a police officer who doesn't specialize in traffic, just the regular beat cop who does, you know, family stuff and burglaries and car thefts, if they see somebody speeding, they can write a speeding ticket. So
right.
I can't believe that it took this before the Vallejo Police Department finally realized, "Oh, crap, we're going to have to include every officer in our traffic updates," you know, the little meetings they have before the guys are released to go out on their shift. So they're going Coach actually changed the procedure. If there's a Vallejo Police Department left, he changed their procedure.
that is just so
court.
Cool.
It went to court. I forget what month that was, November or, I can't remember. I think it was November. Went to court, and the officer who was hell-bent to testify and get a guilty verdict was accidentally, maybe, scheduled for two cases at the same time. So the one, the one which was kind of a serious thing, he was able to attend. And Coach's case was called. No police officer. They said, we'll have to dismiss this in the interest of justice. He said, oh, hold on a second. Well, no. We'll give the police officer more time to get here. And the judge said, look, I already said it's dismissed. Well, can I appeal that decision? You can't appeal something that you won. So it was quickly hurried out of court before the officer became available to testify. We actually did find him in the entrance, in the foyer, in the hallway, in the courthouse. We were kind of hanging around talking about what happened to us. What we just got punked by the system or something. And here comes his officer, mad as hell, because he went into that court and it was all over. So, but it was right after that trial or that trial that never was, that we went over to the police department and found out all this stuff about what wasn't supposed to happen, and this officer was never supposed to write a helmet ticket. So, so tomorrow is my trial for Rancho Cordova, and I think there's going to be a couple of guys going over there with me, and Mac Henderson might testify if it comes to that, if need be. I got some papers that the Mac was able to get from the California Highway Patrol that are going to serve a really good purpose. The ticket he got from the CHP, as far as I know, only 3 helmet tickets written in all of 2009 by the California Highway Patrol, and 2 of them were dismissed within days of being written, of the ticket being written, and Mac's helmet ticket, which was sort of slipped through the cracks somehow, he got his trial and managed to finagle the guilty verdict out of the court, and is in the appeals process, and we just thought, hey, you know what, let's write a letter to the commissioner of the California Highway Patrol, since all of the edicts not to write any more helmet tickets came out of the commissioner's office instead of CHP legal department that they usually come out of, special projects or legal. Well, since the commissioner has this personal attachment to this no more writing helmet tickets, let's write a letter to him and see what he says. What would he do in this case, since the officer seems to think he did the right thing? Well, it was about 2 weeks later, the local CHP office near Mac's house sent him a letter saying that, not in so many words, but since Mac had complained about the officer writing the ticket without probable cause, the letter said, we have decided that the officer did make a mistake. Now, it took them 9 months to figure that out. Either that or immediately after the commissioner's letter. I don't know which, but so I would love to know what accompanied the letter that the commissioner sent to the local CHP office. I'd love to know what that document said. Or maybe the CHP commissioner called him on the phone and said, "What the hell is going on over there?" I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, anyway, that's what we're doing.
Okay, caller, I've got a question I'd like to ask you to respond to. I don't know if you heard earlier, we had a gentleman here in North County, a young man that's got about 10 tickets, and he's fighting them, he's doing everything he can. Did you hear that part of the report at all?
I did. I was not able to. No, I'm sorry. What is that? Do you guys know him?
Yes, personally. He is a young man. He's every day. He lives right in the heart of the war zone. He gets picked up every time.
Yeah.
Would you share any advice you might have to maintain his composure, how to deal with this pressure, any suggestions you might make? Because I know he's listened to you.
Well, I would say probably the best thing you can do is never go anywhere on the street in public without a digital recorder. And anywhere on the street in public, he should and can and must record any conversation that he has with a police officer or that a police officer has with him.
Well,
I would say don't answer questions. Answer them with questions. Answer every question with a question. The police officer doesn't like that. He needs to be calmly, politely reminded that what the police officer is probably doing is conducting an investigation in the hopes of making an arrest. And they call that, in police work nowadays, they call that productivity. Making the arrest is being productive.
We can give him some of the tools that you mentioned. Any advice for the mental stress he's undergoing? Right now he's like Don Quixote fighting the dragon, the windmill. He feels his uphill. Yes, please.
I would say the best thing to do is have him call me. I would not want to, if that's personal, I would probably want to ask him about certain circumstances first before I, and maybe each circumstance would exact a different response from me. I would say that he really, if it takes him 10 tickets and he's not having fun, he should be changing some things that he's doing. So I would urge him to call me.
You're right on the money with that, brother.
And this is the advice we've been handling him, so I appreciate that. Jan, you were trying to jump in and say something. What were you saying, dear?
Yeah. Let me add a couple more things. Okay. Number one, when you do get pulled over, he can apply this even now. Okay. Number one, when you do get pulled over, you put down your kickstand, you get off your bike, or whatever you're being instructed to do. But at one point, at some point, you have to treat it as though, okay, your business office is now open, and you're having a business meeting with this, and that you're going to be very professional about it. And that relieves a lot of stress. And it also puts you in charge. You know, you have to wake up in the morning sometimes and say, you know, I'm the king, you know. the other thing is save your stress for when it's really needed. You know, here we are out in, I'm in North Carolina, and we have this situation where we have to go to district court multiple times, and then we have to go to Superior Court multiple times if we're going to fight a helmet ticket.
That's
well,
when you're on, correct?
Yeah. You know, save your stress. You know, and don't put your, you know, be business-like at all times, but save your stress. Don't stress yourself out. Every day, every waking moment of every day, save it all for when it really matters. You know, I mean, you're going to be under a stressful situation. Just acknowledge that and move on. And then when the time comes for you to be stressed out, you won't have already worked yourself up into a frenzy over it. I mean, here we are. In North Carolina, we have these people that are relatively new to going to court and defending themselves, and they think that it's a really stressful situation when they walk into district court. And I tell them, wait a minute, everything really is just a hearing up until the day that you are actually going to have a trial. Okay, everything else is just a hearing. It matters very little about how much stress you have, so just don't stress yourself. You know, just acknowledge that you have to do it, move on, and then save your stressful time.
That's a good
point.
But
I like what Mark said also.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jan. And if I could, I guess that's a good direction to go with him. You've all heard the saying. If I could add on to what you said, Jan, we've all heard the saying that knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Maybe if he's trying to fight stuff, maybe I don't know where he's gotten his knowledge from, but maybe he doesn't have maybe a little bit more knowledge. Has he been to the Bolt of California website? Because maybe a little bit more knowledge. Maybe if he needs to read a different page or concentrate on different sections, if he can tell where he's. What in the conversation, what direction does he think he's going? If he keeps tripping up in the same place every time or something, maybe he needs to figure something else out. So
well, it's not
power.
That he's It's not that he's tripping up in the same place. It's the fact that we're trying to get him. We're trying to get him to relax and calm down.
Yeah.
As soon as he hears the word no or something negative, he goes off.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, the other thing too. I think one of the things that has helped people in the past that have that issue is to know that, you know, good cops are good cops. We're not talking about them. But we're talking about the other side. There's, you know, there's the dark side, right? And some, there's a saying in the, there's a phrase in the little booklet that Richard Quigley compiled, which is a booklet of quotations. And I'll paraphrase a little bit because it's a little bit long for my feeble mind to remember word for word, but what he says is that it's not the badge on the cop that makes him a prick. It's the prick in the guy that makes him want to put on the badge. So if you remember guys who were, what, you know, this doesn't hold true every time, but generally, if you went to school, to high school with a guy or college with a guy who ended up becoming a police officer, generally, you look back on him and you think, oh, yeah, he was kind of a bully. He was kind of a guy that just loved to ruin other people's day. And if you look at it now, the dark side cops, the ones that will make stuff up to get the arrest, those kind of idiots, those guys, you know what really ruins their day? When, you know, what they like is they want to pull somebody over, you know, freak them out, think, oh my God, now what's going to happen to me? Now I got this ticket. Now, and they just love watching you twist in the wind. Have you ever been pulled over by one of those? Those guys are the ones that you need to turn the tables on. And the way you turn the tables on those guys is like this. Make it like, oh my God, thank God. You don't have to say these words, but act like and tell yourself, thank God, it has been so long since he pulled me over. I've been wanting to be pulled over for weeks. Thank God, this is the day. Oh, cool. I'm really looking forward to this. And the one thing that trips up the prick cop is when he's trying to wreck your day and it looks like he just made your day by pulling you over. He's like, wait a minute, what's this guy got up his sleeve? Now he's wondering what the hell instead of you. Okay? Then he says, all right, just sit on your bike. Give me your license and registration. Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, you know what, officer? And then you're friendly back to him. Yeah. You'd think that you know, with a smile on your face, geez, you know, with all the number of times that I've been giving you this info, I thought you'd have it memorized by now. You're a smart dude. You know, ha, ha, ha. And
what a smart ass you are.
Yeah, you're joking with the guy. Of course, you know, the smile on your face and the relaxed attitude is the big difference between smart ass and joking around. And people
okay.
will know, the body language will tell. If you say those same words with a different tone of voice and a different look on your face and a different body language, it's a smart ass. Okay, so anyway, what I'm saying is you can practice this stuff in front of a mirror, but if you turn the tables on him, And he starts thinking, wait a minute, what the hell did I do pull this guy over? I just made his day. He's so freaking elated that he got a ticket. Well, if this is the type of guy that really likes to ruin your day, then giving you a ticket doesn't ruin your day. It makes your day. I'm not going to give him a ticket anymore. The cop thinks, I'm not going to give him a ticket. So little games like that, believe me, they really work. And especially if the cop is a rookie, I've had cops literally start shaking, wondering what the hell I'm going to do next because I'm so damn friendly. And the guy just couldn't think. He actually, we got a, what is it, I think it's a letter and seven numbers in our driver's license number. He wrote like four numbers and forgot the rest of them. He was so nervous.
They shouldn't be nervous. We're supposed to be the ones that are nervous.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you can anticipate everything that's about to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the gentleman you're talking about who's been pulled over, who's getting 10 tickets. He's got some experience now. So experience and knowledge breeds confidence. and the confidence to know what's going to happen. He pretty much knows the routine now. Now, if he changes his reaction to the police officer, now the police officer doesn't know the routine. Now he's wondering what the hell. He's nervous. He's thinking, what the hell's this guy got up his sleeve? And you know, the relaxed, purposeful, relaxed tone of voice and attitude, and you know, like I was telling my buddy out here, one of the newer Bolt members, when he first started training, I guess you could call it, he would act out. I had him act out for me what he does during a traffic stop, and I noticed right off the bat, first thing, he gets off the bike and his jaw is set, and he, if looks could kill, the cop would be bleeding, because the look on his face was like, just one chance, and I'm gonna hit you with this left with everything I got, and you know, that look on your face says a lot. So I had him relax his face. I had him take the fists out of his hands that he didn't even know he had, and then make straight fingers, open palms, relaxed. Look at me on the Vacaville video. You can see most of the time I'm walking around like you see me at a friend's birthday party. You know, the only thing that was missing, I didn't have a drink in my hand over there by getting a ticket, you know.
Yeah. You're very relaxed. I do need to hand that to you. I have a feeling that Philip is Philip all the time, and Bill might also be relaxed. Bill, are you like? Do you take the business approach?
Jan, when I'm stopped, the first 30 to 45 seconds of that stop is going to control the whole situation. It's usually a man, and one of us is going to control the situation by being an authority figure. And most policemen are policemen, sergeants, lieutenants, captains. They understand the pecking order, and I believe that by my being an authority figure, I control how the stop's going to go. Never by raising my voice. I don't use slang. I never say yes, sir, no, sir, to anybody in my life. I don't say F you, F that. But I think it's different control, different people. My attitude is 30 to 45 seconds into the situation, that man has to think down deep inside, this man on the motorcycle is to control this stop. I may get the ticket. That's not important. I will control the stop. That's my technique.
Good. Yeah, good thinking. You got to control the stop. The police officer is trained to control the situation at the traffic stop. His tone of voice, you'll notice, is not like, a couple of buddies sitting around talking. His tone of voice is usually very authoritative, very direct. That is taught. That's all taught. Just by him walking up and what he says and how he says it.
May I tell you how I deal with that issue?
Sure.
You raise your voice to me one octave, I'll speak a little softer.
Yeah, that's...
will not be able to sing louder at me if I keep going even softer. It's a guaranteed work. Never had anybody continue to yell at me when I keep going softer and softer and softer. They will automatically come down. It worked. I've never had a fail once, absolutely, guys. But,
Philip, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Because you're getting a lot of experience with dealing with stops lately.
Absolutely. It's a free
show. So you're doing pretty good at it, I'll bet.
Yeah. Yeah, and the funny part is they're more concerned about what's on my bike or what's on my body than anything else, as well as my association.
So it's clearly harassment, right?
Different. Every single officer is different. Screwdriver and I are so much different. I am guaranteeing you his technique is like 180 for my technique. But if it works for him, that's all that counts.
Yeah. I think it's a you have the guy call me and we'll go through a couple scenarios. In fact, this weekend might not be a bad weekend for it.
To be Sunday, because Saturday will be tied up at the wall.
Okay, that's good.
Making sure that young man joins us at the wall, good, wearing his colors, and any of his club people that want to show up, I want them all to be at the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fine. Have him do that, and then because I really would like to get a couple of I'd like to hear his tone of voice. I'd like to hear his hear what he knows and some of the techniques that he is using either on the traffic stop or in court. And
there actually, if Dance, they're archived on the last four shows.
Okay.
But perhaps speaking to him in person, you might get a little more insight that and perhaps maybe just speaking to a different person might pull something out of him that maybe we missed or somehow, perhaps.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it would be worth trying. I really do.
Okay, we can do that.
Were these 10 tickets over the course of a small duration of time? Or
3 months.
And is this the same person who whose girlfriend was actually assaulted when the police removed the phone from her hand?
Yes.
Oh.
Gosh. So they're you know, I mean, what's the guy need, a restraining order? Does Philip need a restraining order? Also,
it's a little,
I mean, cause
it's
seems,
a little
it
deeper
seems
than
that.
They're they're fishing, Jen.
Things are weird down there, and I just saw a note on the chat that Bill has seen more cops in the last 2 weeks than in months.
Absolutely.
What's going on with that?
They want to know about the show. They're coming out asking me, how can we hear what's going on the show? I have a poster.
They want to be on the show? Invite them on.
They want to hear the show.
Well, we'll invite them on, you know.
I've done that.
They can call in. It's
a
free country.
They're looking for intel.
Oh, good.
They think we're talking about more than we're talking about, and all we're doing is... All
right. My phone's ringing right now. Maybe Oceanside PD is calling me. Maybe they want to know more.
You never know. They're out in the truck. I just got a new phone that I had the GPS disconnected on.
That's great. Well, I'm sure they're all wonderful gentlemen, and it's just a misunderstanding.
I want to say this. Understand though, like we have the deputy mayor coming down on Saturday. The mayor
right.
was. Down. So we're not giving up on working with our government and our city government. We have to work with them. But when it's wrong, it's wrong. We have to tell them it's wrong. I appreciate the fact that the mayor, the deputy mayors, they still show up and endorse and support our programs we're doing for the community. And so far, they've kept their nose out of the problems we have with the police, and I respect that too. So works okay. It's not like we're against everybody. We're not. And as you pointed out a few minutes ago, of course, they're not all bad cops. That's crazy to believe that. If I'm getting my house robbed or something, I'm calling a cop first. Believe me.
And you don't want him to go
wrong
in there and
or wrong. We
got to
deal with that.
You don't want the cop to come in there and just invent stuff out of thin air to catch the next guy that comes along and claim he's the one that robbed your house. You want him to catch the bad guy, you know, and do it with actual police work, actual evidence. So. They know how to do it. It's just easier to do it the cheating way, you know. So it's a lazy. It's either lazy or bully guy that turns into the bad cop, or he gets, you know, the corruption thing. I found out a long history of corruption in a police force. Actually, ended up shutting down an entire police force.
That's
Compton
true. I read that.
Compton PD does not exist anymore because of the long-standing history of corruption in the police department. They couldn't get rid of it. So they just shut it down.
That happened in Spring Lake, North Carolina as well.
Interesting.
I wanted to make a you know, just mention something. You know, a lot of people look at Bolt and when they don't really know much about us, and Bolt is Bikers of Lesser Tolerance, of course, and, you know, the Defendant from Hell and many other people have gotten really good at fighting helmet tickets in court. And, you know, I just wanted to make a comment that we're not doing this in order to beat a ticket, you know. You know what I mean? We're not doing, and we're not doing this so that we can break the law. And we're not even breaking the law. What we're doing is we're abiding by it word for word. Maybe it's to the absolute minimum, but it's still abiding by the law. And so, you know, we're not beating tickets, and you know, we don't pride ourselves in beating a ticket. What we pride ourselves is in knowing the law and using it correctly.
Now they're just pulling, they're not giving me a ticket. I can't get them to give me a ticket. All they're doing now is trying to conduct intel. And what they're doing is they're threatening me to give me tickets. And like, and Bill and I talked about this. If Bill said the first thing after I explained to him what was going, he goes, Phil, he goes, if they were going to write you up, she wouldn't have said a word.
Yeah.
They, neither one of those guys or the woman wouldn't have said a word to you. The other two guys, they wouldn't have said a word. They just started writing.
The worst thing an officer can do for losing credibility is say they're going to do something
and
then
it.
They don't do it.
Right.
That credibility is destroyed.
Well, if the Oceanside Police Department and or their officers, a few of their officers are listening, and it, like you're saying, it might be that they are, then maybe they just need to understand that there are court cases that say, another paraphrase, similar to something like this. Look, the law has to be very specific so that citizens know exactly what is demanded of them in law, what they're prohibited to do, and what they're allowed to do. If it's not specific enough, then a citizen doesn't know if he doesn't want to violate the law, it is unconstitutional to make him swing way wide of that line between legal and illegal. Just to make
that's
sure
what they're trying to do, Mark.
Pardon me?
That's what they're trying to do to me. They're trying to get me to lose my cool, and I'm not.
Well,
doing
yeah,
it.
But it's not just that. It's the whole helmet issue has a bit. If like in California, when the judges ruled that it's constitutional to have on the books a helmet law and to enforce it, okay, you know, we get it. Okay, Buell versus Hannigan says helmet laws are constitutional. Fine. But what's different is what they're trying, what like the Oceanside guys were doing and what they were doing in Vacaville, what they're doing is they're making citizens swing very, very, very wide of that boundary between wrong and right.
That's true.
Sort of like if
let
they
me,
would do
let
the
me
same
interject
thing,
here and add
would do
to
the
that.
Same thing with speeding.
And Mark, can I, but we only have a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
We have another caller wants to get in and join us in this conversation. So please stay with us. I appreciate everything you say. I want to give this other call a chance to say something.
Right.
Paul, are you still with us? Have you joined us, rather?
Yes.
What would you like to add to our conversation? We have our...
I just pretty much, first of all, it's Betsy, and I pretty much want to echo the sentiments of Jan and Mark and Philip and you, Bill, basically.
Well, don't agree with Screwdriver and I together, ever.
Oh, okay.
Well, thanks.
No, I mean, Jan's right. You have to conduct yourself in a businesslike manner and be courteous. And Mark, any video I've ever seen that he's put out, I mean, he's as cool as a cucumber on his stop. So kudos to him.
Oh, man, I like it when women call me hot.
Oh.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, really.
Mark, how much did you pay her?
Yeah, I did tell you which address to send that check to, didn't
yeah,
I?
Right. Exactly. So,
that sounded like a eulogy.
I know. You're
was
you
a great
like,
guy.
You sound
he
like
was cool as a cucumber.
You sound like you're calling from New York.
Close, Boston.
Boston, oh, okay. So do you know Jan?
Yes, I do.
Oh, excellent.
GYPSYN.
Oh, excellent. Hey.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
so
I know. People don't know me as Betsy. They
we've
know
emailed.
Me as Gypsy.
Excellent. We've emailed each other. Great.
Yes, a gazillion times over
oh, well,
the years.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, yeah, law is fun and interesting. The more you know about it, the easier it gets, and the easier it gets, the more fun it is. You know, it snowballs like that. So
mm-hmm.
I would really encourage anybody to start with something easy like a helmet law thing. You know,
it's 11 p.m.
Basically easy, and then you get going on that and know a whole bunch more about law. It all builds.
It's 11 p.m., you guys.
That's okay. We're good.
Is this going to cut us off?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't want to interject, but I thought that we wouldn't have a chance to say goodbye or whatever, and thank you for a good show again, as always.
Yeah, it was a great show. I've been listening.
You're welcome.
Oh, good.
Betsy, less listening, more talking.
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, I want to thank Mark for calling, of course, Jan, too, but Mark always brings up some good points. Sometimes I just want to hear from somebody else. I believe when I'm right, I'm right, but I always want to hear another person's opinion. If it's a better idea than I have, I will certainly change, but he brought some good points up, and perhaps he can speak to this young man and give him some other points I've missed or reiterate the same points I made. So I hope that works out. Thank you again for calling, Mark. I appreciate
it. Great. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. We'll talk to you Sunday.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Okay. Good night. Nice talking to you, Gypsy.
Same here, Jan. Have a good one. Be safe.
Betsy.
Bye,
Betsy.
All. Hey, stay out of trouble, Phil and Bill.
Absolutely. Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else going on?
Yeah, we got a problem with our safety fund.
Uh-huh.
Just found out about that tonight. We're trying to see what's going on. All of a sudden, it seems like it's been omitted from the budget, and $2 of each registration goes into that fund.
Mm-hmm.
So if $2, let's say there's 185,000 riders times 2, that's a lot of money. If it's not going to us, where the hell's it going? And the statute is written so that they can't touch it. But then again, it's also subject to legislative appropriation and whatnot, so that's on the agenda for this evening.
Betsy, Bill Kennedy, I'm going to break in for a second. My stomach's grumbling. I'm hungry. I'm going to leave a screwdriver. I'm going to go get some food. Good night, dear.
All right. Good night.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, what we're going to do then, Betsy, is I wish you would have called in earlier. We could have jumped on this. But
I know. Sorry.
Don't worry about if you have trouble signing in, don't worry about it. Just dial the phone number.
Okay.
Okay? And then maybe I should have told you that before. But
all right.
I will give you the chair next week to bring this up.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And we'll get everybody involved. See, I put the word out for these guys to call in. And,
okay. Well, next week may be better timing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, because I got a feeling something's going to happen in the next week.
Very possibly.
Yes.
No, okay.
So very possibly, I know.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you have your finger on the pulse of everything out there, you know?
That's true.
Yes, you
and
do.
And if you talk to some people, I got too many fingers going right now.
Yeah, you can never have enough pots on the fire, right?
Yeah, and these guys are like, hey, it's more than helmet tickets and the muffler tickets, and it's now they're digging into our personal lives. We've seen more cops in the last 2 weeks in his shop than we've seen in 5 years since he spent 6 months in a storage unit checking us out.
Wow. So you may have some interesting items and tidbits to share.
Yes, I do. But
What's that old saying, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones?
Yeah, that's true, but I throw bricks.
Yeah, so I noticed. But it's the way you throw them.
True. Well, I learned how to hit and run when I was a kid.
There you go.
But no, it's like I was telling you. Now they're making it personal. Now they've already stopped my son, in numerous times. And
yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, they're looking for intel on me.
Well, that's the game they play. But you know that, so you know how to counteract that.
Yeah, he knows that too. When he tells him, "Well, I don't answer to." He doesn't answer to me. I answer to him. That kind of pissed
him
off.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, they if they want to track me now, they can do it off the pings within 6 blocks.
Yeah, that's going to frustrate them and piss them off even more.
That's okay. Gives me a head start.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And, no, we're going up to that thing tomorrow, and I'll be back down. We're going to start it. Bill's gonna. We're gonna start at noon until about two. We're gonna speak at two instead of three.
Mhm.
Now we'll have the color guard and everybody there, so everything will work out pretty good. And then I'll have most of the guys that have been involved with all these helmet tickets and bullshit with these guys in one area where I can talk to everybody at once.
Oh, great! That's the way to do it. Then you can kind of educate them all.
Mhm. And then, actually, I'm gonna be handed about 3 inches of paperwork because everybody's gonna turn in everything I need. For the keep track.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Mark was saying earlier, the CHP only issued 3 helmet tickets last year, and one of them happened to be to Mac Henderson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we're trying to keep track of everything because they're developed a pattern where they're doing everything under deprivation of color of law.
Deprivation of what?
Color of law, under the color of law. They're depriving us of our rights under the color of law.
Hmm.
That's the FBI title. Did I send you that?
No.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And you look it up and you read it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be going, shh, fuck, this guy's right on point.
Well, we know that anyway. But, yeah, send it to me. I'd like to read it.
I will. I'll send it to you right now. And then I'll give you a buzz tomorrow before I head up.
Okay, it's past my bedtime. I got to get up early, get my newsletter out. And,
yeah, don't worry about it. You can read it in the morning.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, and have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.